Well, our message this morning is entitled, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." And our scripture reading was found in 1 Corinthians 9:24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain." In Vancouver Commonwealth Games back in 1954, Jim Peters, he was a Britisher, was the world record holder for the marathon race. And he came to Canada in these games and he was heavily favored. When the gun fired, Peters jumped out to a quick lead. And as the race progressed, his lead increased even more and more. As he neared the end of the race, his lead was not just seconds, but it was minutes, 20 minutes ahead of the second place runner, who was a man from Scotland, Joe McGee. The announcers proclaimed that he was on pace to break a new world record that day. And as he entered the arena on that last lap that he had to make around the track, the crowd got to their feet and they were ready to watch this new world record being broken. So all he had to do was to make one lap around the track and he would be crowned with the world record and the winner of the race. But suddenly he tripped and fell, and the crowd became silent. It took Peters nearly 15 minutes to make it only 200 yards. And as he kept falling down and falling down, his trainer ran over to him to try and encourage him. "Get up, you can make it, you can do it. You've only got a few yards left." Finally, when Peters fell down again, got up and started running the wrong direction, everybody knew that he wasn't going to finish the race. And soon an ambulance came, took him to the hospital, where he spent 7 days in the hospital. And he did not break the record. He did not even finish the race that day. And actually, Jim Peters would never race again. The Bible often speaks of the race of life, or the battle of life, with the crown that awaits us at the finish line. But Paul tells us in Hebrews 12, 1-3, how we can run the race successfully. He says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him." And what was that joy that was set before him? That was you and me. We are the joy he was looking forward to spending time and eternity with us. This is the joy that was set before him. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You know, there's one principle of athletics that holds true in any sport or competition. And that principle is, the game is won on the practice field, not on the playing field. It takes training, takes building up your endurance and stamina. Experts say that Jim Peters, that his collapse was due because He didn't preserve enough energy in the few days before the race. He didn't hydrate himself during the race. And this was the reason why he collapsed and could not make it those few last yards. Back in the Apostle Paul's day, participants for the Olympic Games had to swear by Zeus that they would spend 10 months beforehand practicing and training for their Olympic Games. And some say it takes about 10 years and 10,000 hours for the athletes now to be able to participate at the Olympic standard. 10 years of your life. Some kids start very early, and they start training them very early. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Paul says that we are to fight the good fight of faith. What does that mean, to fight the good fight of faith? The original Greek word for fight is agon, which we get the word agony. The definition of agony is intense pain of mind or body. Did we see Christ going through agony in the Garden of Gethsemane? Matthew 26:36 says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.'" Verse 37, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.'" The Spirit of Prophecy comments on these verses and says, "As Christ left the disciples, bidding them pray for themselves and for him, he selected three, Peter, James, and John, and went still farther into the seclusion of the garden." These three disciples had seen his transfiguration. They had seen the heavenly visitors, Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. And Christ desired their presence with him on this occasion also. Christ expressed his desire for human sympathy, and then, withdrawing himself from them about a stone's cast, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The superhuman agony with which he had been wrestling had brought him to his disciples, longing for human companionship. But he was disappointed. They did not bring to him the help he expected from them. Hear that agonizing prayer of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. While the disciples were sleeping beneath the spreading branches of the olive trees, the Son of Man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, was prostrate upon the cold earth. As the agony of soul came upon him, large blood drops of perspiration were forced from his pores, and with the falling dew moistened the sod of Gethsemane. Sometimes throughout our life, we have to agonize. And the only way through it is knowing that Jesus is with us through it. We cannot get through it by ourselves. It's only through Christ's power. One of the most difficult things in the Christian life is to let Christ have the victory in us and for us. It is in this agony or this fight that is the most difficult for us, because we always want to get the victory for ourselves. We want to be victorious in our own power. We're taught in life that winning, it's all about winning. But for a Christian, winning is about pressing to the mark, about pressing to the finish line. When you give up or quit in life, you're not giving up on yourself, but you're giving up on God. You're saying that He's not able to save you, but He is able to save you no matter what you feel, how lost you feel, and how bad you've been. Sometimes life gets very complicated and we get confused, even desperate. And we look for a way out. Jesus invites us to look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. The title of our message is "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." It's based off of Deuteronomy 1-4. I'd like to read that for you. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart be faint. Do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is He that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." I love that promise. According to these verses, no matter how difficult the battle seems, and for most of us, it's that spiritual battle that's the toughest than any other kind. But if we remember a few things, we will be victorious. Number one, let us remember that the Lord your God is with you. How many times have we gone through a trying time and we've tried to overcome on our own power, and we wait until we come to the end of our rope before we finally come to God, and He's had that solution there the whole time, waiting for us to call upon Him. Number two, let us do not be afraid. Fear shows that you're depending upon yourself and not Him. In the Bible, it says, "Do not be afraid," 365 times. So that's one for every day of the year. Years ago, a man came to a frozen lake, and he discovered that it would be miles closer if he could cross this frozen lake than having to go all the way around this lake. So he decided that he was going to go ahead and try and go across this frozen lake. But he decided that he was going to disperse his weight and just crawl across this lake, this frozen lake. And so he started crawling across this lake. And he got about halfway across, and he heard some noises behind him. And as he looked over his shoulder, he noticed a horse and carriage go rumbling past him across this frozen lake. And here he was afraid that his frail frame was not going to hold him up on this lake. And so he was moving across the lake in fear, whereas the horse and carriage was going across in freedom. So let us not be afraid. Number three, God fights for you to give you the victory. I love the story of Gideon. In Judges 7:2, It says, "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midians into your hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me.'" It had been made a law in Israel that before they went to battle, the following proclamation would be made. This is found in Deuteronomy 20, verses 5 through 8. "Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, 'What man is there who has built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. Also, what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. And what man is there who is betrothed to a woman and has not married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man marry her. The officers shall speak further to the people and say, 'What man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart.' But because Gideon's numbers were so small as compared to the enemies, he did not make this proclamation to his army. And so God said that his army was too large. If Israel would have triumphed, they would have taken all the glory for themselves instead of giving the glory to God. The Lord is willing to do great things for us. We shall not gain the victory through numbers, but through full surrender of the soul to Jesus. We are to go forward in his strength, trusting in the mighty God of Israel." Another Bible story that I like that shows the battle belongs to the Lord is demonstrated in the story of David when he was young. You remember God had given him the victory over a lion and a bear, but he knew that it wasn't his strength that gave him that ability to slew a lion and a bear. He knew that it was God's strength. And three of David's brothers, older brothers, were in the army of Israel as they were going up against the Philistines. And you remember Goliath made this challenge against anyone in the army of Israel to come up against him. And for 40 days he was making this challenge, but nobody was brave enough to come up against him. They had not claimed this promise of Deuteronomy that the battle belongs to the Lord. And David's father sent him to the camp to bring some stuff to his brothers and to see how they were doing. And as he got to the camp and he heard Goliath saying all these derogatory things about his God of Israel, he decided that he wanted to face Goliath, this 12-year-old small boy against this huge giant. David wasn't even old enough to go to war, but he knew it wasn't going to be his strength. He was going to go in the strength of God. And you remember that King Saul tried to put his armor on David, but David had not proved that armor, but he had proved God through this lion and the bear. And so he took the armor off. We're told that Goliath's armor was plated like the scales of a fish. There was no arrow that could penetrate through his armor. Goliath trusted in his armor. That was his strength. But David said that the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. So Goliath cursed David by his gods, and he was insulted to have this small challenger come up against him. And so he raised his helmet up, and they both started running towards each other. And as David was running towards him, he grabbed a small, smooth stone into his slingshot and wailed it at Goliath, and it pressed into his forehead. And we're told that Goliath staggered like a smitten oak, falling to the ground. We're told that he took the sword of Goliath and cut off Goliath's head and raised it up to the army, which is what Goliath said he was going to do to David. In Revelation 3:11, John, the beloved disciple, has a special message for you and me. He says, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown." It's your crown. He has prepared it for you, and all you have to do is hold on. I like this poem that I found about, it's called The Way to Win. It takes a little courage and a little self-control and some grim determination if you want to reach the goal. It takes a deal of striving with a firm and stern set chin, no matter what the battle, if you really want to win. There's no easy path to glory, there's no rosy road to fame, and life, however you may view it, is no simple parlor game. But its prizes call for fighting, for endurance and for grit, and a rugged disposition and a don't know when to quit. You may take a blow or give one. You may risk and you may lose, and expect that in the struggle that you'll suffer from a bruise. But you mustn't wince or falter if a fight you're once begin. Be courageous, face the battle. It's the only way to win. Author is unknown. And I want to finish by reading this promise in 2 Timothy 4:7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." The battle belongs to the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for these promises that we can go into any battle and use the strength, your strength, Lord, that the battle is truly yours and that you have already been victorious for us. You've been victorious on the cross. You've forgiven all of our sins. Lord, we just want to thank you for the amazing love that you've showed on the cross, for the power that you give to us. Help us to fight every battle through you and with you, Lord. We thank you for hearing our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So there will be a potluck afterwards in the fellowship hall. So we hope you can all